Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Monday, July the 27th, 2026. What do we got here? 12 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into WGH Talk Radio. Phone lines are open if you have anything on your mind. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We certainly enjoy hearing from you out there in the listening audience. Anything on your mind? By the way, there will be a city council meeting tonight, 6:30, second floor of City Hall. And I wonder what the issue will be tonight. Obviously, flock cameras were the conversation last night. And it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I don't know. Are flock cameras still a big issue for people in the Marion area? All right. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did you have yourself a nice weekend?
I did. It was a nice weekend. A little overcast for most of it, but not too bad.
It wasn't hot, though.
No, it was not hot at all. The weather is very weird, I will say that.
Very peculiar, and we are supposed to be approaching the dog days of summer, so I'll take, 70-something this morning?
Yeah, what is it right now? I don't even see our temperature thing in here, but it's low 70s, okay. I believe.
73. I've already been out this morning, and I see this little older lady. She's out walking every morning, and oh, God bless her. She's got to be in her 80s. But, I mean, she's just a spry little gal, and she is just a tiny little thing. And this morning she had on her headband earmuff combo and her gloves and a jacket. But she's still out there just pumping along. I'll tell you what, she could probably give me a run for my money for how fast she can walk. But I thought that's just so cute. She's got on pants and a jacket and a little hooded earmuffs and her gloves already.
Well, you know, some people don't stop, and I think movement is what keeps you along.
Oh, see, I'm telling you what, it can be December 13th, and unless there's snow on the ground, she's out there hauling. So, bless her. I think some mornings she motivates me to be a more active human.
Well, that's a positive thing. That is positive.
Yes. Sidewalks aren't the greatest and everything else, but she's just out there. She does her thing, and she is inspiring. She truly is. But to City Council.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about decorum. For real. In front of the full council tonight for the first time. And something landed in my inbox. I woke up to it, so it came in the middle of the night. One of the hooligans out there must have insomnia. But it's from our friend Sally Jesse, a.k.a. Danny Boy, a.k.a. Danny Clark, at-large councilman. And this is something that he posted. Well, Chafin was still in her position, so... Or Chaffin. I always get that one wrong.
I
think it is too. But I'm always the person that when I say it, I'm like, no, it's the exact opposite of what I just said. So I'm going to second guess myself. So Bodine took that job in January of 24. So this post predates January of 24. I'm not sure the exact date, but it references Chaffin. So he says... This is Danny Clark from him. Attended Marion City Council meeting this evening and came away very disheartened concerning our city government. What a pack of bullshitters, his quote. You cannot get a straight answer no matter how you express your question. I simply wanted to know who requested city utility records for my brother's address last month. Of course, no one owned up to it, and several outright denials and some mumbo-jumbo about Freedom of Information Act. Really? You cannot answer a simple question. I was followed by concerned citizen Tracy Cooperwriter, who had questions concerning a grant for improvements at Lincoln Park Stadium. Kathy Chafin said that they've requested, records pertaining to Lincoln Park Field, and that was not the same. Again, really? Why is city council and city government reluctant to answer simple questions? They may be trying to cover something up, or they may be just petty and afraid that voters will discover their behavior is not in the interest of the city. In, I underlined this part. Any citizen attending a council meeting should be welcomed and made to feel part of the democratic process, not accused of grandstanding. Shame on you, city council. I'm filing that under posts that did not age well.
So that came from
July 2021.
So that's what decorum was all about?
No, this is what Danny Clark was saying when he was just a piss-ass peasant citizen going up there trying to get his questions answered.
Oh, this is 2021.
Yeah, Danny Clark made this post in 2021, and he said, any citizen attending a council meeting should be welcomed and made to feel part of the democratic process, not be accused of grandstanding. Shame on you, city council.
Well, that's interesting.
Post that did not age well. So I'm going to read that to him tonight and see what he has to say about that. Because, you know, ironically, when it comes to city council getting into people's utility bills, Tyler Lang was down digging around in my utility bills once, and I never asked her to do it. So I don't know if that's just like a city council thing to get into your utility bills as a way to spy on you. And then I was like, what's going on with the utility bills? Why does, because I never brought that to council's attention. They, Tyler Lang let it slip out in the parking lot. Because we were talking about the supervisor, Andrea, and Twyla went down there and was talking about how she was trying to get into my sewer bills, and I'm like, I never asked you to do that, and I even have an email to that effect, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, so when he was a peasant, he just had to experience the stonewalling and the blank stares and the you don't get any answers like the rest of us. And now that he's sitting up there all high and mighty, the peasants shouldn't be allowed to talk, and I mean, he's even gone as far as talking about the sergeant-at-arms and having people removed and possibly jailed and charged and all sorts of things. And then that surfaces.
And do we know where that surfaced from?
It came from the internet. It's a Facebook post.
Oh, it's a Facebook post. You know,
It's a Facebook post. It's on Marion, Ohio conservative something or another. He posted it to their page. So it was meant to be seen. It's a public post. Wasn't like covert, you know, someone's backstabbing him. He made it to be seen publicly.
You know, it's interesting because I honestly think the decorum thing is going nowhere. I mean,
I believe this is rich.
Well, it is interesting because I think he was the one who did want it. I think he voted no last week when Ralph
He's
Smith.
He's the one that proposed this legislation. It's his legislation.
Right. So,
but when he was on the other side of the aisle being mistreated, everyone should be welcome. Everyone should have a part in the process. Everyone should have a say. Any citizen attending a council meeting should be welcomed and made to feel a part of the democratic process, not be accused of grandstanding. Shame on you, city council. Now, on to something else we're discussing. Isn't it ironic? Okay, there's your singing for Monday morning. On to something else. This weekend, the fam was out, and we were over by a community market that's through right in front of Deacon Duchess as it turns and goes straight onto Fairground, or you turn left and go onto Greenwood. And here's somebody talking so loudly, I wonder what in the world's going on. Look over. Guy's riding up on a four-wheeler, talking on his phone with one hand and sort of steering with the other, and he's got a kid sitting in front of him, and this kid couldn't be much more than 5 or 6 years old. So I'll sell myself out here. I popped out of my seatbelt at a red light, jumped over there and got some video of it. This guy's straight up talking on his phone. The light turns green. He puts his phone away. I made a post about it on Facebook, and the things that were said, it doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. So many people thought to the death that what he was doing was legal, that you are allowed to ride four-wheelers, you are allowed to ride dirt bikes, you are allowed to ride these things in the road. And I was having a conversation about it this week. I mean, I'm, like, posting the law. I'm telling them I've sat through city council meetings. They're in the process of currently making e-bikes illegal because gas-powered ones are already illegal. A lot of people did not see a problem with the fact that a child that appeared to be no more than 5 or 6 was riding on this thing in the middle of a very busy intersection in Marion. I mean, even a low-speed crash, that child could have been critically or fatally injured. I mean, it's just a real possibility. People didn't seem to have a problem with that. But I came to the conclusion, my opinion, this weekend, that we've allowed these gas-powered vehicles to go unregulated and unchecked for so long that people really don't know they're illegal. You don't ever see anybody getting in trouble for them, so why would you think they are illegal? And the place that we learn they are illegal is in driver's ed. A lot of people don't take driver's ed anymore. It became such a problem that the state is now going back to funding driver's ed programs in some scenarios. But we learn it in driver's ed that you're not allowed to take those things out on the road. If you've never been out in driver's ed, you might not reasonably know that you're not allowed to take one of those things out there. So when no one ever gets in trouble for them, you might really believe it's legal. I mean, this is 100-plus comments, Scott. Some of them I deleted. They just got so disgusting and nasty. But why are we even bothering with e-bike legislation when we got kids riding around on four-wheelers like it's nothing and people arguing to the death that we need to mind our own business? I'm sorry. When I see a child in potential danger, that is my business. But what have we done to let people know that they're currently breaking the law and that... I told you I started delivering groceries for Walmart Spark. I took a scooter to somebody's house the other day. I'm assuming it was a gift or something, but I put it on their front desk or front porch. I'm thinking I'm making Marion unsafe one delivery at a time. But when people are ordering these scooters and these things for their children, they know they're illegal and that their kids are going to get in trouble for them or could potentially get in trouble for them. So, like, what are we doing? Why are we even messing with this when the laws we already have we don't enforce?
Well, that's an interesting question, and like I said, I think this e-bike legislation is very ambiguous.
8 pages.
Right, and I think that's going to be a problem, because I don't think that people are going to fully understand it. I think making the public understand it's going to take a long time.
And how are they going to do it? Because if we don't know that four-wheelers are illegal, how are we going to get out across the e-bikes are illegal?
Well, and I think that's kind of the point as well. I think it's going to be very hard to enforce this.
Is it just dog and pony? Are they doing it because they've gotten so many complaints and now they can point at it and say, hey, we've got legislation. We did something.
Well, maybe Chief McDonald has said he just needs guidelines on what the rules are and what the rules are not. And I guess they'll enforce them.
Guidelines on those quads and those mini bikes and those four-wheelers and those dirt bikes and everything else, but, you know, people will swear to the death that you're allowed to do that.
Well, that's what
Even when you post the law that says they're not allowed, I even got to the point that I said, call the police department. Here's their non-emergency number. Just call them and ask them. If you don't believe me, call them and ask them.
Well, and I think that's it. I think everything becomes discretion, unfortunately.
Well, then what's the point in having the laws? What's the point in going through all of this? Mark Russell's been working on this since last year. What's the point in going through all of this if it's for naught?
Well, but I think all laws are really, for the most part, up to discretion. I'm not sure that everybody gets a parking ticket. I'm not sure that everybody gets a speeding ticket. I'm not sure that everybody gets I don't know.
Ironically, this popped up in my timeline or my feed last night. But the state of Ohio, we have passed a law regarding these, because this was another question that people seem to have, is if there was an accident with one of these things, who's at fault? Because, you know, like, I'm driving along and somebody cuts out in front of me on one of these things, I've got a license, I've got got insurance, I'm allowed to be on the road, what about them? Now, if there was some gray areas in the law where prosecutors weren't allowed to charge these people with certain crimes, now if... they are golf carts and mopeds and four-wheelers and all these other things are covered under the same vehicle laws and vehicle manslaughter laws as automobiles were. There were some instances where people were causing deaths on these things and not able to be charged with a crime serious enough to what they had done. Like, I think I read one where the guy had been drinking, killed someone, and they weren't able to charge him with manslaughter because technically the law didn't cover what he was driving. So now they've expanded the law to make it basically anything with a motor. If you kill somebody because of it, you're going to be tried the same as somebody driving a car. So that's how serious the state is taking it. Are we doing people a disservice when we let them ride around with children on an ATV and now they're subject to manslaughter laws?
Well, yes. I think it's all very confusing, like I've said, and I think there are going to be a lot of...
I think if we busted a couple asses a couple of times and made it very public, it would go a long way, because Columbus used to have a real issue with people gathering, remember, I don't know if you remember this, downtown, like on their ATVs and their quads, and they would block traffic, and they would throw down and have these block parties, and police were chasing them, and they would ride up, I mean, it happens in a lot of big cities, but they were riding up and down, like, stairs at the state house and stuff like that. They started busting them. They started impounding them. They started sending people to jail. And that stuff has stopped.
Well, I don't know. I think you would have to have a lot of manpower to do that. I agree,
but I hope it doesn't take someone getting killed before they start doing something.
Well, here's the thing.
Or someone seriously injured.
I, laws are laws. And nobody obeys all the laws. And we see tragedy all the time. Because people don't obey the law. And no matter whether it's the death penalty or whether it's a chance to go to prison or whatever it is or a fine, people still break the law because they think they're not going to get caught, I would guess. Or these are all...
Well, they don't care. I mean, there are some people that... I mean, yes. But there's some aspect there of not caring or not going to get caught.
Right.
So, yes, I...
So, I don't know, I think if you think there should be laws in place and that you want laws on the books that are enforceable when you want to enforce them, when you are able to enforce them, I think that's pretty much what this is. But I don't think this is going to be at the top of the list, which I think Chief McDonald has said all along.
I think if, you know, we don't go to enforcing, I know I've heard Teresa Webke say we need to educate people on this because... If they should go to enforcing, and then, you know, I know you can't use ignorance as no excuse of the law, but is it really fair when these random ordinances get passed and people don't know about them, you know? I was thinking about it. Where do you learn that mopeds and stuff are illegal? You learn it in driver's ed. And if these people have never been in driver's ed, then they probably really don't realize this stuff is illegal. But... What have we done as a community to tell them this is illegal? Because we certainly haven't busted anyone. And then, I mean, yeah, that would be my solution for a couple of them and make it pretty public. But if we don't do that, where's the, like, this stuff should be all over the rec center. It should be all over, you know, wherever young people are, maybe at Job and Family Services. It should be public knowledge that you shouldn't be doing this. It is not legal, and is coming to the point now that you can get in trouble for it.
You know, this became emblematic of a conversation I was having Saturday night during the Facebook Live broadcast, because that ended up going a long time, like 2.5 hours on Saturday night, essentially because we got back into the flock camera conversation. Now, you say you took this camera, this phone with your camera, or the video with your camera, right?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing that I'm starting to wonder when it comes to the flock camera conversation, because I'm sure it will continue next week during committee meetings.
I got accused of, why are you ranting about flock cameras when you're out doing the same thing? And I said, here's the difference. I can't recreate where that person has been for the entire month. I can save that one photo forever. But all I did was catch him committing the crime. I can't follow him. I can't know where he lives. He didn't have any license plates, so a flock camera wouldn't have got him anyway.
No, but you could have taken a picture, theoretically, of his license plate, and you could have followed him.
If he had one, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's the thing. To me, that excuse, and this is the conversation.
But if I did that, and I follow you everywhere for 30 days, that's like harassment, stalking. If I followed you all day, every day, for 30 days, I believe the police would... step in at probably before the 30-day mark and say something.
Right, but here's the problem. Here's why this has gotten into the territory of the other argument from the other side of, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why do you care? Okay, here's why this argument sounds a little weak to me from the other side. Because police officers can ping your phone, to find where you are if you're accused of something.
They need a warrant to do that.
Do they all have warrants to do that?
This is not CSI. That's what people don't realize. This is not CSI.
So
whoever you are, to get your phone.
Okay, so let me make the point then.
The police have to present a warrant.
Okay, so let's say they all have warrants to do that. Then why would they
that's
not?
That's different. You have to be suspected of a crime and they have to go in front of a judge and explain why they should be able to invade the privacy.
So then we really can't make fun of the person who had the police on the phone, who was during the hostage situation or being hauled up in the house. I guess it wasn't a hostage situation. We really can't make fun of them because they didn't have time to go in front of a jury or a judge and get a warrant.
Exigent circumstances, Spears. If there's something that is going on that is immediate, okay, that there's someone who's in danger, or there's certain, I'd have to look up the exceptions, exigent circumstances. I saw a situation not long ago down the street from me where a kid got bit by a dog, and he took off running into his house, and the police were not far behind because 911 had been called, and the kid was, like, freaking out in the middle of the street, and then he took off into his house as the police were coming up. I watched the police run in his house. Now, there was blood everywhere. That's an exigent circumstance. They have a reason.
So it can happen.
Yes, there's like four exceptions. There's I can't remember the other ones, but there's things. Fleeing suspect. If you're a suspect and you run into my shed or my backyard or whatever, they have the right to go in my backyard even though I'm not even a suspect because they're chasing someone.
Well, again, this is something that police could not have done 25 years ago because everybody didn't have a cell phone and there wasn't technology like that. Now, do you want them not to use that technology? I mean, that's your private cell phone. You pay for it. They don't. Should they be allowed to find you just on the assumption that you've done something?
I agreed to the terms and conditions of this phone when I put this little GPS monitoring thing in my pocket. I don't know how much Snapped or First 48 or anything like that you watched. The number one mistake these people make when they go to commit crimes is they take their phone with them. So I've agreed to have this little GPS thing in my pocket. If the police can reasonably convince a judge that I have broken the law and need my phone information from Apple or Verizon and they can produce a warrant,
but there are instances where they don't have to go get a warrant for.
Well, not for a phone, they can't. A phone, you have to have a warrant. There's nothing, you can't, Verizon and Apple.
But didn't you just say they could ping your phone for certain circumstances?
No, I meant they can do searches without, they can't search your phone. Now, listen, if you, one suggestion I would make is that you take your Face ID off of your phone, if you don't want the police going through it, and you go back to a passcode, because all they have to do is hold your phone up to your face. And these are court cases. All they have to do is hold your phone up to your face, because your face is reasonably capturable in public. Hold your phone up to your face and unlock it, and now they can go through your phone. Whereas if you have a passcode on it, then they have to ask you for the passcode, and you don't have to talk to the police, so now they can't get into your phone. Go watch the civil rights videos, Spears, I'm telling you.
No, I'm just saying that there are technologies that are used today that could not have been used 20 years ago because they were not available. And I think that is the argument being used by people who want these things. They feel it's just another use of technology helping them to be able to do their job. And I think the doorbell cameras are a good example of this because I bet more people have doorbell cameras now than in the history.
My doorbell cannot track you for a month.
But that's not where I'm going with this.
My doorbell can get you snagging packages off my porch.
Right, but
my doorbell can get, the guy that's trying to sell me electric, I can tell him you're not allowed to do this without a permit. You know, the doorbell cannot track you.
Right, but why are we so suspicious? How did people live 20 years ago without these things?
Well, I would say social media. You go back to your social media thing because, you know, and just the internet in general, you can find out where just about anybody lives. And you don't know what kind of unhinged maniac is on the other side. You know why I put cameras on my house? Because I have a crazy relative that I am terrified of, that every angle of my house is covered because of a relative, a family member. That is the reason why my house is covered in cameras. They are unhinged, and I want to know if they step foot on my property, near my property, or near my vehicle.
Okay, now, if somebody is kidnapped, I don't think the police officers could turn on the flock cameras in that moment to try to find
that
person.
They can go and this is how flock works. They can go type and say, okay, we want a gray or a silver Honda Accord, mid-90s, four-door sedan, front left, and they can type that in.
But do you want them to have to go get a warrant to do that?
They don't have to.
No, but I'm saying, is that the situation we want?
If it is, okay, I'm looking at it right here. Exigent circumstances. Officers can bypass the warrant requirement if there is an immediate emergency. This includes hot pursuit of a fleeing felon or situations where evidence is in immediate danger of being destroyed. So there's your exception to the warrant on that.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know,
I'm just saying with a society.
That's what I'm saying is we don't need. I came to my halfway on flock. We take them. We don't need them everywhere, and we don't need the data to last 30 days. If it's for a kidnapping or a lost person or whatever, wouldn't you agree that's happening instantly? We don't need to go back a month and see where the kidnapper's car was. We need to see where it was an hour ago.
But don't you think if these flock cameras were working so well and they were keeping the data so well that we would have found Nancy Guthrie by now?
Maybe they don't have 40 of them in that city.
Well, I'm sure they have it through in some city that she's driven through.
Well, hey, they got the Ring doorbell, Scott. I mean, he was on their Ring doorbell.
And how and who and where was that information given to the authorities? I don't know. It just seems like everybody's...
It was given. Did you hear what you just said? It was given.
It was given, right.
If it had not been given, they would have... I mean, obviously...
Right, but here's... But that's the point that I'm going to make here. That's the point that I'm trying...
You would have needed a warrant if that person was not willing to give that information.
Okay, but let me try to get to the point...
It's held by a private person.
Right, but the rest of that sentence was... The point is that we are a more suspicious society than we have ever been before. We're suspicious of everybody. We're suspicious of the cops. We're suspicious of the people on our porch. We're suspicious of the Amazon drivers. We're suspicious that there might be somebody who might walk up on the porch and take one of our items. We're suspicious of everything. And if something does indeed happen, who are you going to call? You're going to call the police force to help them try to help you salvage whatever happened, and you're going to show them the footage, or else why do you have it in what's going on there? And they don't need a warrant for that. So the point is, I just do not quite, I can't wrap my mind around, if we're going to be such a suspicious society, apparently we're just suspicious of everybody. We're suspicious of the police.
We have good reason to be, though. It's not like we don't have a reason to be every single day more and more of these stories are coming out of these flock cameras being misused.
Right, but is there more crime now than there was 30 years ago?
I don't know. According to the FBI statistics, no, crime is decreasing.
Crime has decreased, but yet suspicion is at an all-time high. Now, why is that?
Because we hear more about horrible crimes now than we did back then. We hear about the child that was abducted and violated in California. We hear about we would have heard about Nancy Guthrie because her daughter's a celebrity, but we don't hear about all the missing seniors that, you know what I mean?
And by the way, this is a good point from one of the listeners. They could also go to Ring themselves for the footage. They have in the past. They don't really need you. So why do you have that surveillance that the police can go right around you to get anything they want on your house? Because I bet you there are more Ring cameras in Marion than flock cameras.
I guess that would be a good reason not to keep our Ring footage for 30 days, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I think that was one of the points that was being made.
To your point, yes, there are probably more Ring cameras on my street than there are flock cameras in the whole city.
Right.
They're on every house.
And
with
I think
the election stuff that I've done, they're on just about every house in some capacity.
And that's a private company that nobody's suspicious of. Aren't you suspicious that the Ring company...
Oh, yeah.
Has footage of your property in your house?
All they've got is pictures of me coming and going from my front door.
Well, yeah, but that's more than the flock cameras have.
No, the flock cameras know everywhere I've been in town.
Well, if you're driving, what if you're on a bike?
Good point.
But my point is...
I mean, are they going to get... Okay, but if you're on a bike, you're not going to be on my Ring camera. You're not going to be on my Ring camera unless you're on my
porch. But I'm saying they know where you live. They know what your property looks like. They know when you're coming.
Everybody knows where we live. Google yourself.
Right, but they know when you're coming in and out of your front door. Flock does not know that.
We don't know if Flock knows that or not.
Well, I think that's...
I couldn't help myself. Aaron said they're always watching.
Well, I think they're always watching. I'm just not sure who's watching. I'm not sure if it's just the police department.
In some cities now, I know, this is, you know what, I read this the other day, and I think this is an excellent point. The people right now that are setting up what some of us consider mass surveillance, and some of you may not, and I get it, but the infrastructure that they're setting up right now, they will not be alive to see the police state they create in 30 years. They have helped lay the infrastructure, the groundwork, to create where there are literally cameras on every corner. And, you know, people keep going, well, they need to get these traffic accidents that are happening, all these people running red lights. What people don't realize is that red light cameras are not really legal in the state of Ohio unless there's a police officer there to enforce them. That's why we don't use them anymore. They were deemed unconstitutional. So people don't even know how these things work or what they do, but they're all for them.
All I'm saying is, I'm not saying that the idea of getting rid of the flock cameras is a bad idea. I'm just saying
Can we control them? Can we have, I mean, they keep saying we want legislation to control them. Okay, what does that legislation look like?
Well, I don't know.
What's it going to say?
I think we never got to that point last week because everybody was kind of doing the same argument for an hour and a half. So we never really got to the point of what would the legislation look like amended that would go on to city council.
That would be something they need to discuss. I don't, within a few years though, and if they don't do something about flock, I don't see them getting reelected, to be honest with you. The nationwide tide is turning against the flock thing, and I know there's people sitting out there, people are making a mountain out of a molehill. They're probably also the people that didn't think that marijuana and abortion would pass in Ohio. So,
you know, in Marion, Ohio, I think the bigger issue is going to be the fiscal emergency, not the declaration of it, but the changes that are going to come over the next year that people are going to have to deal with. And I think those are going to be very unpleasant realities for the Marion city
voter. Very unpleasant. And hopefully they're just honest with us and they keep us in the loop and they treat us like we're adults.
But my point is just on this flock camera thing, again, I'm not saying that they should stay up. I just find it curious how people don't go on dates anymore without Googling the person they're dating. People don't hire people anymore without going to their social media page to see if there's a picture of them drinking a beer on there or dressed in some skimpy outfit. People,
I rent apartments through Marketplace. I put them on Marketplace. And the first thing I do is look at your Facebook page to see what kind of hooligan you are.
There you are.
I've got tolerance for hooliganism.
I think we passed mass surveillance a long time ago.
And you know what? I wanted to tell you something. You were talking about, you and I have talked about before, you know, this area and people's perception and how you've not really experienced being shunned because of social class or talked down to or that sort of thing. This happened to me, and I wanted to make sure that I told Scott Spears about it. I was renting had an apartment for rent, and, you know, first thing people always want to know is where is it located. So I just have that ready to copy and paste because he's copy and paste it. So this woman comes back to me, and she says, oh, okay, well, thanks. And here's the funny thing. The apartment is right next door to my house. All right, we own the house right next door to us, and it's three apartments. And she says, oh, thanks, but we don't want to live in that area. We're trying to stay on the good side of Marion. And I didn't even answer. Okay, fine. We want to stay on the good side of Marion, where it's safe and clean. And she gets back to me the next day. I think she must have realized how much rent is everywhere else. And says, well, maybe we do want to come look at that apartment after all. We drove past it, and it doesn't look that bad. I said, well, maybe you should realize you shouldn't discount an entire area before you actually look at the unit and, disparage an entire neighborhood. And she said something about, I'm sorry, hon, it's just that neighborhood, and it's not a good one, and just, you know, all sorts of things, basically. But it's a nice place, and we'd like to look at it. I said, as you took yet a second chance to bash that neighborhood, you should know that I've lived there for 20 years, and I'm not interested in having you as a neighbor. So there's one of my examples of how this area is viewed, that I couldn't even get somebody to, as soon as they heard the address, they weren't even interested. They had not even seen it with their own eyeballs as soon as they heard the address.
But it seems like they came back.
Anything to do with it. Yeah, she came back and she learned a valuable life lesson, didn't she?
Well, but I think, again, I don't think anything is absolute. I'm sure there are people who do believe.
That's happened more than once over the years, but
all I'm saying is
it's funny because I can't imagine how stupid they feel when I've got something they want and I live in that area.
Well, but again, I think people would probably say that about North Main Street, too. But I don't know that that is a reality. What I'm saying is, where are the bad? Where's the good?
I agree. That's sort of my point. But that's a real lived experience. And that just happened recently because the person just moved into the apartment last week who wasn't terrified to even come look at the place before she said, no, we don't want to live in that area. Yeah, and then that woman was full of 1,000 apologies. I didn't even bother responding to her. Like, hopefully you learned something from this lady.
Well, I don't think she was really all that scared to begin with then. She must have just
They didn't. Well, I think she realized that $725 a month for a one-bedroom apartment that has just been recently redone is very, and includes your water and your sanitation, is very reasonable in Marion, Ohio, when I'm seeing apartments, one-bedroom apartments, go for $1,000, $950, $1,000. I couldn't believe it.
Right, so, but I guess I'm saying, if she really was concerned about living in that neighborhood, I don't think the price point would be the issue.
I don't know. She decided to drive by and look at it and decided maybe it wasn't that bad after all, but I mean, it wasn't even within 45 seconds of sending her the address. She didn't want nothing to do with it. Okay.
But it didn't take her long to come back around.
The next day.
Right. There you go.
It's a nice house. It's a nice unit. It's a nice building. That house has vinyl siding. My own house doesn't. It made more sense from an investment perspective to side that house before I sided my own because it had the original wood siding on it. And the sun was just having its way with it. So to preserve our investment, we sided that house before I sided my own.
I think it's much like people. You can have a lot of money. What?
They all suck. You said it's much like people. I'm kidding.
No, it's much like people in that somebody might have a lot of money in the bank and still be a terrible person. Somebody might have a lot of money in the bank and dress like, you know, they have no money at all and terrible and all sorts of things. I don't think that these are good. That's what I don't understand. What is the high end? What is the low end? What's the big divide? I guess I just don't understand that. I don't know where the divide is, and I wouldn't know where to make the divide. And I guess I judge people on an individual basis, which I think most people do, because if you look at where support comes from things, it is usually from people who don't have the money to put forth. The least usually give the most. And so,
Right.
So I think you would be favorable of those people. And I bet if you went and looked at who elected a lot of these politicians in Marion, I bet you're going to find that a lot of those people came from the north and west ends, which people typically would say are the bad parts of town.
I will tell you that the west side is full of voters. There are tons of voters. Lee Street has so many voters, it's insane.
Well, look at who your council person is, Nathan Stevenson. Now, is he a have or a have not? Twyla Lang, have or have not?
Well, Twyla lives in the good part of Ward 4.
So there's good parts and bad parts of bad parts.
The interim guy that was the councilman for two days, whatever, his son, okay, now that man was my councilman. He lived half a mile away from me, but fourth ward. His son had the nerve to call me white trash on Silver Street, and his dad was my councilman. Son, do you not realize that your daddy is now the king of this trash over here on Silver?
Well, see, here's the thing. I think this has become more of an attitude thing than a financial thing. I really do. Why do people attack people? Do they attack people on how much money they make or what they do with their money?
I told you that somebody said to me once, I couldn't imagine being a poor person helping other poor people. So yes, I've been attacked and perceived as poor.
Right, but I mean, I don't think these are the bulk. I mean, I think that a lot of people feel that attitude is driving a lot of this. Because when you walk, like the City Hall thing, I do find a little interesting that when people say the people on this side of the room, the people on that side of the room, okay? Well, here's the thing. Last week, the media sat on the right side of the room.
Yeah, but they're not there, so they don't know who sits on.
Right, but I'm saying,
what side the hooligan side.
Yeah, but who is that? I mean, how do those people know that unless by the way people act? They don't know your addresses.
Okay, because when the people on the side of the room that I don't sit on make noise or speak out, like the one sick up there, can we make them mean quiet? Okay, when she hollers out, nobody gaveled her up, but one of us sneezes and they're looking back there to see how they can get rid of us. So... I mean, it's...
But that's not where somebody lives. That's who somebody's with.
Well, and we kind of... I think we all congregate together because we're all sort of the little... We don't... Actually, no. We all live in sort of different areas. But as Danny Clark has referred to us, we're those people. So those people...
Well, why don't somebody ask him what those people are? Well, what is that?
Well, he doesn't have to answer questions. You know, same thing he got mad at about council when he was up there ranting and raving. Okay, so I have a very brief overview, and this may be 100% wrong. But this had to do, he was up there ranting when he was running against Kai Mead. Do you remember that?
When who was?
Danny Clark.
Dan Clark ran against Kai Mead?
I believe he... You don't think?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Something was going on that Danny was involved with, I think, trying to get on the ballot or something like that, and there was some kind of, I don't know, or maybe Kai was trying to get on the ballot and Danny didn't like it. I don't know, it's been so long, 2021, I might even have to go back and read council notes. But yeah, because like, why else would they be interested in his brother's sewer bill? I thought it had something to do with residency or something, but I could be very wrong. Maybe Sally Jesse could explain it for us tonight, since I'm making allegations now that might possibly be untrue.
Well, now here's one coming the other way. Now, from a listener this morning, somebody who owns an apartment is not a have-not or owns five houses.
I never said I was. I don't think I've ever said that. I don't think I'm very blessed. I'm a very fortunate person in Marion, Ohio. I'm very grateful for what I have, and I've accomplished far more in my life than I ever thought that I would.
Right, but didn't
so
you
I
just...
I don't consider myself a have-not, and that's why I do try to give what I have and help of my time and resources to other people.
But didn't we start the conversation... But didn't we start the conversation by saying this is the difference between have and have-nots, somebody who wouldn't want to live on this side of town?
That's the way it's perceived.
So it is perception and not reality.
Well, I don't believe it's my reality. I've had this conversation before. I don't consider myself poor. I know where my next meal's coming from. I mean, yeah, we're not rich. And, you know, barring some major disaster, we do all right. We've been through the major disasters, though. Or otherwise, I probably wouldn't still be living on Silver Street, to be honest with you. But no, I don't consider myself. I don't know, like... Yeah, I stick up for the people that are treated this way. And for somebody to know that I have five houses, too, that's pretty ironic. But I stick up for people that are treated this way simply because of where we live. Because, you know, I choose to live where I live. I choose to drive a used vehicle. I choose to wear black yoga pants because I like them and they're affordable. I choose to live the lifestyle that I do because I've lived the lifestyle where you lose an income overnight and you're going to lose everything you own when you find out you have cancer. So we don't live that way anymore.
No, but I think that's most people, though.
No, I think what people don't realize is a lot of this town struggles just to make ends meet. And when your electric bill, you pop it open and it's an additional $150 that you weren't expecting, you're not sure where that money is going to come from. 22% of us live at or below poverty. Look up what some of those numbers are.
Right, but just to clear this up, so then you are a have.
In my mind, I am, yes.
Okay, so if you are a have, then when they're referring to those people and this side of the room and so on and so forth...
I have more... unless Danny Clark has some amazing 401k or retirement plan or something, I have more assets and Walsh than he does.
So he's wrong.
So for him to call us those people, it's strictly based on where I live.
No, but the perception.
I have more education than damn near anyone in that room except for Mark Russell. So for them to say those people, it's definitely based on where we live.
Right, so it's perception.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not reality.
Which is what I have said from the beginning. I don't understand this have and have not thing unless it's somebody's perception.
But it's real. What I'm saying is that perception exists among people.
But apparently perception can be wrong.
Oh, yes, obviously. All of our perceptions can be wrong, and that's where we need to check our own biases when it comes to people.
Right, but I mean, if you think that somebody is a have-not and you're going to label them as that and put them over in this basket of whatever, then you might be wrong. And so what's the point? I think it's a mindset. If you don't feel that you're a have-not, you're not a have-not. You're just not.
I agree. And my perception of what is important in life and what makes me a have in my life might be completely different than what other people consider. Like, somebody might think a great big house with lots of land and brand new cars and payments out the behind, that they've arrived in life. I don't believe that is arriving in life. I believe the life that I live is, I'm happy with it. I can give my son what he wants and what he needs, and he doesn't have to work or struggle. He doesn't ever have to wonder if our bills are paid. My son's never asked if we have enough money to cover a bill ever. And that's a good feeling as a parent in this town. I've never had to tell my son, no, I couldn't afford to buy him something because I didn't have the money. To me, that makes me rich.
Right. So, again, when people are saying these things, I think it's more based on attitude. I don't think it's more based on, I don't think it's based on finances. I don't think it's based on where you live. And I certainly don't think it has anything.
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, I couldn't imagine being a poor person trying to help poor people. I mean, come on. What are they saying? Am I reading?
Well, they can say it, but I mean, it's incorrect.
Well, yeah, but I mean, am I misconstruing what they're intending to say?
Well, no, I think that person, but I don't think the city council argument, which is where we started talking about this not too long ago, I don't think that's their feeling. I don't think their feeling.
Well, the first refers to us as those people, so, I mean, what are we? Are we?
Well, who are those people in the room? I don't even know who that is.
Well, he said it about Ken Mayer the one night. These people is what he said. Actually, these people.
Well, I'd like to hear a definition about this. Because I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Do you think we'll get one from him?
I think somebody asked him. He would have to say something. I certainly think so. Well, it's a full council meeting.
Not to me, he wouldn't. I mean, he just stare at me or turn his back or evil eye me or whatever. I don't know. It's an interesting conversation, but no, I've never considered myself, I have not. I consider myself a very fortunate person.
I don't think anybody should consider themselves a have not.
No, there's a real poverty mentality and scarcity and people knowing that they have less than others. There's real psychology to that.
Well, I'm sure there is.
Having been through those trainings, I understand it. I'm like that person who made that comment.
And we're out of time here.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, in city councils tonight, second floor of City Hall, 6:30 p.m. How about that? And so it continues to go. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Blows right by. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask,